This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you can join us on today's program. What I'm going to discuss today is the concept of parenting, but I'm going to start out in a unique way. I'm going to start out by talking about gangs, because I feel there's a relationship, believe it or not, between parenting and gangs. Now, when I talk about gangs, there are over 30,000 gangs in the United States with about 800,000 members within them. This is a problem in the United States. It's not only a problem in the United States, it's a problem in other regions of this world, in South America, in Europe, in Asia. There are various gangs and criminal organizations that wreak havoc upon societies. Now why? Why are kids and young people getting into gangs? What is it that draws them into these gangs, into these organizations? We want to look at that today, and many of you have probably heard of some of these gangs. You may have heard of the Crips and the Bloods. These are a couple of gangs that originated in Los Angeles. What has happened over the years is they've migrated out of Los Angeles. As people move out of Los Angeles, they've gotten into other cities within the United States. And you will hear of Crip gangs and Blood gangs in all kinds of major cities in this country. You may have heard of the Salvadorian gang, MS-13. They've caused a number of issues in the city that I come from. You may have heard of the Vice Lords or the Folk Nation. And all these gangs wreak havoc in the societies in which they live. Why? Why are they violent? Why do they commit crimes? And can we solve this gang problem? I want to tell you a little bit about a book I read a few years ago. It was titled Monster, and it was written by a LA gang member. He was part of a Crip gang, and his name was Cody Scott. And in his book, while he was in prison, he wrote it, and he discusses why he got into this particular Crip gang. And what's very interesting about what he says is something that's very simple. He says he was in this gang because that's where he felt brotherhood. That's where he felt esprit de corps. That's where he felt connected to people. And all people are trying to relate. All people are trying to connect as they go through life. Even though it was a negative place that he was going for this connection, he still went there because he could find that connection nowhere else. He could not find it with his parents. He could not find it with his relatives. He found it in this gang. And if you do research on gang members, many of them will talk about the fact they're in that gang because they feel that that's where their family is. That's where the love is for them within this gang structure. Now, that's interesting when we begin to look at the Bible and see what the Bible says about family. Recently, I had a child about 15 months ago, and when I come home from work now, my little girl will scream or yelp because she sees me, and this gives me a good feeling, but we see that we've got to get with our children when they're young. We've got to make that connection immediately, because if we don't, we can lose them to the power of these gangs. So when you look around the country and you see these various gang members, there is hope for them, ladies and gentlemen. We want to talk about that hope today. That hope rests with you as a parent. So if I'm talking to any parents out there today, I want you to understand that you're responsible for that child that you bring into this world. The school is not responsible. The church is not responsible. You're responsible. You can get some help from the school and your churches, but you are responsible for that child you bring into this world. What we're going to do right now is we're going to offer you some free literature and also a CD, and then we're going to get back to talking about parenting and what the Bible has to say about that particular topic. What we'd like to offer you on today's program is a pamphlet. This pamphlet is titled, Bending the Twig. A child is like a young plant that begins its life tender and pliable, but without proper attention and care, its growth can never reach its full potential. Ladies and gentlemen, this pamphlet will talk about the will of a child and developing the will of that child. It will talk about setting boundaries for your children and why children need boundaries. It will get into various aspects about parenting that are important for you to teach your children. Please get this pamphlet titled, Bending the Twig. We also want to offer you a CD on today's program. The CD that we would like to offer you is Dating and Maturity. This particular CD was given by one of our elders in Canada, and it talks about how important dating is and the proper mode of dating. So please get that CD, Teens, Dating, and Maturity, so you can learn more about what to teach your children about the proper mode of dating. To get both of these items free of charge, and once again, it's free of charge, all you need to do is call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Go to the link under Contact Us, and you can send us a note from there. Welcome back, everybody. We want to get back into the program now. Please get that CD. Please get that pamphlet. They'll really help you understand how important parenting is. What I want to do right now is I want to go to the Bible for a couple scriptures, and I want to start in the book of Matthew. So if you have your Bible handy, you might want to check out this scripture over in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1 there. I want to show you the importance Jesus placed on children. It says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" But get this, parents. Get this, gang leaders out there, if you're listening. Verse 6, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." God cares about little children. He cares about all of us, but especially little children, because they're so pliable, they're so impressionable. And if you lead them astray, there's going to be a reckoning with God about that. So we need to be understanding of what Scripture says about how we treat our little children and the ways and direction in which we lead them. Now, one of these principles that I addressed earlier was you got to be involved with your child right from the beginning. I talked about being involved with my daughter right from her birth, and not just my wife, who's the mother, but also the father. Fathers need to be just as involved with their children as mothers. And let me show you a scripture that bears this out. Over in Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to take a look at one of the Proverbs that have a lot to say about relationships and things of that nature. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, listen to this. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, what's that saying? That's saying you've got to be with your children from the beginning. If you take a break, if you take 6 months off, a year off, there may be trouble coming from that, because your children are going to be looking for influences in life. They're going to be looking for boundaries. They're going to be looking for connections to relate to. And if you aren't there with that positive connection, that positive relationship, they're going to seek that out somewhere else. The Bible says if you can be with that child from the beginning, you've got a great chance of putting that child on the proper road in life. So please remember how important it is to be with that child right from the beginning of their life in teaching them the proper things they need to know. Now, there's a lot of literature on that subject about having to talk to your children, be with your children from their youngest formative years. In fact, I read a book about this about a year ago, and it was titled, What's Your Childhood Memories Say About You? It was written by a Christian psychologist named Kevin Lehman. And the thesis of the book is this, that up until age 8, the emotional connections that we have to incidents in our life have a lot to do with what our future personality becomes. Not the totality of our personality, but it has a lot to do with what we become. What he does in his book is he talks about his own life, giving examples that he went through and how they related to who he became. And then he gives examples from the lives of famous people. And let me just give you a couple so you can get this concept in mind. He talks about Michael Jackson. And he mentioned that when Michael Jackson was a young boy going into Motown Studios, he was interviewed about this, and he told the interviewer that he remembers seeing a park across the street, and he saw these children playing in the park, and he wanted to be in that park rather than in Motown Studios. So we see here with Michael Jackson, this particular facet of his early existence had a lot to do with who he became later in life and some of the problems that arose in his life because of that lack of a childhood. He also talks about Mother Teresa. And we know Mother Teresa did a great work in this world with the destitute and the dying. And what's interesting about Mother Teresa, she talks about some incidents in her early life. Her mother used to take her into the villages that they lived in and near, and they visited sick people, they visited dying people, and she saw her mother taking care of these people, and she remembered one incident where a woman was dying, and this woman had a number of children, and that had an impact on her. It had an emotional connection for her that she kept for the rest of her life and led her to lead the life that she did. Now, if you think back to your own childhood, you don't remember everything about your childhood. What do you remember? You remember those things that had an emotional reaction or connection for you. And those particular things help make you into who you are, for ill or for good. So start to look back in your own life. Look at those connections that occurred in your early existence and see if that has some effect on who you are today, and maybe you can overcome those things that have a negative impact on who you are today. But suffice it to say that it's very important to establish positive things in your child's early life so they are not leading a life that is negative, leading a life that gets into crime and things like that, like many gang members get into today. Now, another facet of parenting that I want to get into here is the fact that we need two parents. Now, there are many families or many children who come from one-parent families. I'm speaking in generalities here. But if you look at the statistics, if you look at the research, you will find that many of the children who get into gangs, many of the children who get into crime and things of that nature come from a single-parent families. Of course, some do come from two-parent families. But let me give you some statistics on that, and you can do the research on your own. There's a fellow at the UCLA School of Medicine. His name is Robert Moradi. And he's done some research, and what this research has found is children who do not have a father present have less impulse control, have lower IQs, and are prone to be more violent than children who have a father at home. And again, I'm harping on that father because many of our one-parent families are led by mothers. You know, that's just a fact of life, that many of these one-parent families we're talking about are led by women. So men have to take up the slack. Men out there, I want you to hear this. You are not a father just because you have a child. You're a father because you're involved with that child also. You have to be intimately involved with your child. There's some more research out there that I want to address. This comes from the American Journal of Sociology. And again, they did another study and they found a statistical link between all crimes and whether or not a child came from a two-parent family or a one-parent family. In other words, children from one-parent families statistically were more prone to crime than children who were coming from two-parent families. Another statistic I want to throw at you. This was done on juvenile correctional facilities, long-term juvenile correctional facilities. What they found was 70%, and let me repeat that, 70% of youths or teens in long-term correctional juvenile facilities came from single-parent families where the father was not around. Again, the statistics are there. You can do the research on your own. The importance of having two parents in a family is very important. Of course, there are many productive people in society who come from one-parent families. I'm speaking in generalities here, of course, but the statistics are there. Please do the research on your own. It will bear out the point I'm trying to make here, the point I'm trying to emphasize here on the importance of two parents in developing that child. The male and the female. The feminine has to be there with the male in order to help develop that child in the proper way. Another thing that we need to recognize about our children, another parenting principle I want to throw at you, is you need to teach your children about God. You need to help them understand that there's something bigger and greater than them in life. If you don't, they will focus on themselves. They will focus on the self, which can lead them down some negative roads in life. Let me show you that that's a fact in Scripture. I want to turn back to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to turn over to Matthew, this time Matthew chapter 19, and show you that again, Jesus is emphasizing the importance of dealing with children here. And he does this in Matthew 19, verses 3 and 4. And here's what we read there in Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14, actually. Matthew 19, verses 13 and 14. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. So he's getting children involved with praying. And the disciples rebuked them because of this. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." So we see here again Jesus establishing the importance of dealing with little children, and he's involving them in something that we do as Christians, which is prayer. So I'm sure Jesus wanted the little children to learn about prayer, to understand what prayer was all about, because prayer involves you with God. It develops that relationship between you and your Father, God, just like the parents, the mother and father have to develop that relationship and communicate with their children. God the Father wants to do that same thing with us through prayer, and we see Jesus emphasizing that here with children. Another place we can go in Scripture, back in the Old Testament, is in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Get what it says here. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Now get this. It's talking about learning about God, teaching about God. And then what does it say in verse 7? "You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." It's talking to you, parents. It's telling you you need to teach your children about God, teach them about something that's greater than them, so they can get down that positive road in life which is going to make their life much better. Please recognize what Scripture is saying here. You will also see this in Exodus chapter 12. Not only should we teach them about God, but we need to teach them about God's ways. And what do I mean by that? We need to teach them about God's holy days, because God's holy days tell us what God's plan is for mankind. When you understand what the holy days are about, you will see a purpose and plan to your life. It will help you understand why this life is the way it is. And we see this evidence here over in Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to pick it up in verse 24. It says this, "And you shall observe this thing," speaking of the Passover or Days of Unleavened Bread, which is one of God's annual holy days, "as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as He promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' that you shall say to them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Egypt, of Israel in Egypt, when He struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So again, it's involving the children here in teaching them about God's ways and what God has done in history. Scripture is clear on that fact, that we need to be teaching our children. Now, we've had an experience in our church with some of our young adults and teens. A number of years ago, we noticed at our annual Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of God's other annual holy days, that a number of our teens at one of our locations and young adults were sitting outside the main service. So we decided to go and talk to these young people and find out, why aren't you guys in the main service? What's the deal here? What's going on? And that's an important thing to recognize. You want to continue to maintain that relationship with your kids, even when they're teens, even when they're young adults, because that's when the influence of this world come down on them even harder. So we went and talked to them, and we found out that they felt the messages weren't connecting with them. They felt that some of the music was not good enough for them, that they were not appreciative of that music, even though it was good music. What we did after finding this out was we set up something called the Infuse Program within our church. And what we do now at the Feast of Tabernacles is we set up a service prior to the main service where the messages are tailored towards these young people. They're a little bit shorter. They get them more involved in the message. We use some contemporary music within that particular service, and we're finding that this is working. Many of them are not only going to that initial service, but they're ending up in the main service and liking it. And so we've established this relationship with them, this continual relationship, and that's something you need to do with your child, is continue that relationship. It's gotten to the point that we have a chapter of Infuse in Detroit now, and what they've done in Detroit is they go out in their community and they plant what they call an urban garden, where they grow food and then they give it back to that community. This came from us dealing with these young people, getting them involved in volunteer work at the Feast of Tabernacles, and them being grabbed by what we were doing and taking it back to their community and getting it started in their community. And that's what it's all about, finding those positive outlets for these young people, giving them that family relationship, not only with their parental family, but also with their church family, so they can have an outlet rather than the negative outlet that some young people get into, which is the gang lifestyle, which leads many to violence, leads many to drug trafficking and things like that. Rather than giving back to the community, they're taking away from that community. Now, another controversial subject I want to address with parenting very briefly is discipline. Disciplining your child. Today, there's a lot of talk out there about, oh, you shouldn't discipline your child, or you should only talk to your child. Well, what's the biblical principle about this? Again, let's take a look in our Bibles. I want to take a look back in the book of Proverbs. This is over in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. Notice what it says here. It says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." So we see here that God is saying we need to discipline our children. How will they know the boundaries? How will they know what they should do and what they should not do? Now again, I'm talking about maybe a spanking or something like that. We're not talking about abuse. We are not talking about abuse. That is against the law, and that's not what we're talking about. But God allows for some discipline. And when you discipline your child, you need to explain to them why you are disciplining them, what the reason was for this discipline. And maybe you want to go to the spanking as a last resort, but it's something that can be used. It's here in Scripture. And also, why is there discipline? Well, God also disciplines us, ladies and gentlemen, and He extrapolates that into the world by telling parents they need to discipline their children. We see evidence of this over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7 talk about this discipline that God puts on us. And let me read it to you. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 6 and 7 say this: "For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" We see here that we need to be disciplined by God our Father, just as our children need to be disciplined by their mother and father. It will help them make the right choices in life. So I want to thank you for joining us today on the Armor of God. We've talked about parenting in relation to putting our children on the right path in life. We don't want our children getting into gangs. We don't want them going down those negative pathways in life. But in order to guard against that, you have to do the job as a parent. You've got to be involved with your son or daughter right from the beginning, right from the start. You need to teach them about God, and you also need to know about God in order to teach them the truth about God. Thank you for joining us on today's program. Please put on the whole armor of God so you can stand in that evil day.
The Church of God International would like to introduce Infuse, a magazine of understanding designed for tomorrow's leaders, specifically addressing the contemporary issues facing and challenging young people around the world. The Infuse magazine presents solutions while providing advice and ideas outside the box, giving new dimension to some of life's most pressing concerns. Call now or hit us on the web and request your free subscription for Infuse, a magazine for tomorrow's leaders.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.